Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in the last verse, 33, last chapter, 33. We're going to look at the last, or the first five verses, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. Let me read these first five verses for us. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us the law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Now, before I get into what's being said, the very first phrase in verse 1, and this is the blessing. This is the blessing. I ask myself this, I ask you this. Is Christ precious to you? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Do you know, and do I know, do we know together, that from birth we speak lies, we have deceit in our tongue, in our heart, in all of the best that we can do, all of our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. Do you know that? Do I know that? Because until you know that your righteousness, until I know that my righteousness is worth nothing, we won't seek Christ's righteousness. We just won't do it. Until we see our need of a Savior, we don't go to the Savior. Little kids, children, until you're thirsty, you will not ask your parents, or you will not go to, in the schools, they used to have fountains. I don't even know if they have them anymore. Shut them off, probably. You will not go get a drink until you're thirsty. The gospel tells you, the gospel tells me that there is a man, one man, the man Christ Jesus. And in him and him alone, no other man can pardon sin but the Lord Jesus Christ. No other man has a perfect righteousness but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you don't go to yourself. You don't go to somebody else. You go to him for everything. If you know, do you know that? Do I know that? We're not, and as enjoyable as this is, when we gather together with brethren of like mind, and I would not want to be anywhere else than right here. And I don't even have to be up here. I could be down there and somebody else could be up here just to hear the words of Christ. To hear the words from this book, this infallible, inerrant, unerrant Word of God. Tell me something of Christ. Tell me something that I don't, you know, not about myself. Not what I can do, not I'm empowered, not me this, not you that, but about Christ. If you're there, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've confessed Him, if you've been baptized, the he that believeth and baptized. Baptism is very important. It's not unto salvation, but it certainly is something that we do as obedient children. I still don't understand what the argument is. You believe Christ, he says be baptized. You get baptized. And you don't get sprinkled, you get immersed. Am I talking to you? Am I speaking from my heart to you? This may be the last sermon. I don't know. One man, old preacher said, we ought to preach as dying, a dying man, a dying man. Getting older, getting slower, weaker. My memory, my wife is, she's going too. So if I can't remember, she can't remember. As John and Betty Seaball, we used to love, they're so precious to us. Betty used to say, both of us together don't make one good one. That's exactly right. If you're in earshot, if you can hear this, if this is you, if this is me, this message is so comforting. Look with me at Deuteronomy 33 and the verse 3, the second portion of verse 3. Yes, he loved the people. Now look at this phrase. All his saints, just for his saints. This isn't for everybody. This is children's bread. This is the children's food. All his saints are in his hand. End. Now, is that not a huge pillow? Is that not a huge pillow for you today? Whether it doesn't make any difference if your age, if you're just one day in the Lord, or if you're 50 years in the Lord. It doesn't matter if your gender, you're male or female in the Lord. It doesn't matter your economic status, your ethnic background, black, white, red, purple. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're in the middle of a trial or you're coming out of a trial or hardships. All his saints, those who are called by his free, sovereign, electing grace. They're called saints here. They're called elect in other places. They're called chosen in other places. They're called the remnant in other places. And in other places they're called sinners. They're called of the baser sort. But according to our lovely text this morning, these are all in the mighty, supreme hands of the Creator of all things. His saints are in His hand. As saints, neither bond nor free, Jew or Greek in status, nothing can separate them, says Romans, from the love, particular discriminating love of God's own Son. He owns every one of them. We're bought with a price. He paid with blood and sealed with the Holy Spirit. He owns every one of them. He has called them out from darkness unto light. He has chosen these who are called saints before time ever was, and he has sealed them with that sweet and lovely spirit of comfort. Nor, says the Scripture, shall any ever one of them ever be lost. Not a single one. Not a single one. A bruised reed, says the Scripture, shall not he break, or smoking flax shall he not quench. He is said to keep his sheep, and he cares for his lambs. And says Matthew 1:21, he came to save his people from their sins. These are the ones addressed in this here, in this chapter, in this verse. All his saints are in his hand. But we are defiled. We're beggarly. We're a beggarly lot. Yet our hope is not in self, but it's in Savior. Let's look today at the keeping, saving hands of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. All his saints, particular, so specific. And I encourage you, and I've encouraged you time and time again through the years I've been preaching, is to go back to Songs of Solomon and don't read any commentator. Don't read a one. Just read it, the bare naked word of God, and be overwhelmed with the beauty of that love relationship between Christ and his church. Let's look at these. His saints are in his hands. These hands are fashioning hands. Okay, they're fashioning hands. What do I mean by that? Well, in your mind's eye, go to the ceramic shop and go to some pottery and get some clay and fashion it. That's what I mean. He is, the scripture says, is the potter. We are the clay. He has formed and created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and but one verse. Verse 21. This people, Isaiah 43 verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. This is God speaking. They shall show forth my praise. They shall show forth my praise. This people have I formed for myself. Well, that's not fair. Didn't I just say in the scriptures, in Romans, didn't I just say that he is the potter and we're the clay? This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So it's as normal for a believer to pray and to come to worship and to gather together and to give what the Lord has prospered them. It's just in to pray and to, it's as common as breathing. Why? Because we're new creatures in Christ. Because he's formed us. We're his workmanship created. That's what the scriptures, what Ephesians says. His praise. My people are formed for his praise. He has done all the work in righteous redemption. Shall he not receive all of our adoration and thanksgiving? Where's boasting? Says Paul. Where's boasting? It's excluded. And boy, how we like to talk about ourselves. But in this, in true religion, it's excluded. It's excluded. Away with self. Away with self-serving religion. And I do believe that Karl Marx hit the nail on the head when he described, you know, I don't know if he was throwing any darts at America, but he understood the truth when he said, religion is the opium of the people. And talk to Bruce, you know, when he drives that Sadie, all the, and it's like a crutch. It's all they talk about is religion. They don't talk about Christ. They talk about religion. And I had a Mormon friend, because he's a friend. He's a good work buddy. Nice guy. Do anything for you. He never talked about Christ once. He talked about his religion. Mormonism this, Mormonism that. And he missed the boat. It's because it's a religion of works. Do this and don't do that and say this and say that. Away with self. Away with self-serving religion. We shall worship Emmanuel in spirit and truth. Why? Because he formed us. Why? Because he has us in his hands. He has us in his hands. Secondly, these hands are preserving hands. I know sometimes when the doctor comes in, and not literally, but when the doctor comes in and tells you got a disease or a problem or whatever that you were not expecting, they call it a punch in the gut. You don't know if you're, it's just, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Am I going to make it to the end? I ask you, are you his people? Are you his lamb? Yes. I have all the confidence in this book. I never met Christ, but I know this book and I've met him through this book. The Spirit has made it. He's the comforter. He's comforted me with these words wherewith I'm comforting you, if you are one of his folk, if you're one of his lambs, his children, his saints are in his hand. These are preserving hands. Now that we are his adopted sons and daughters, we will need to be kept by his sustaining grace. So, like Paul said to the Galatians, did you get saved by the Spirit? Now you got to do something? No. No, there is works after salvation. We desire to maintain good works because he's, again, if you can think back this far, if those of us who are not children, used to try to please your parents. Why? Because they were your parents, because you loved them. Now, there were certain rules and regulations they also set down, but our Heavenly Father, the love of Christ, constrains us. I'll take love over law any day, any day. We are, it says in the scriptures, his jewels and his crown. Ready, and because we're such, we're ready to be seized upon by the world and by the ministers of darkness. They hate the gospel of God's grace. They hate Christ. Yet, in Christ, we are safe and secure under his everlasting arms. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. And verse 3. Isaiah 62, verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God, in his hand. Okay, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 27 through 29. Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Look at this next phrase. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I had somebody say, well, what about me? Are you not a man? Are you? No, nobody. Nobody. Because again in our text, all his saints are in his hand. Now, in his hand, we could emphasize that, which we were trying to emphasize, and Bruce emphasized, and we emphasize this regularly from this pulpit. His hands is God's hands. Now, if your God is a mealy mouth, weak-kneed, effeminate Jesus that is so often depicted, then you've got trouble. But if your God is the Lord of Lords and King, what the scripture says, King of Kings, he's referred to as the potent one. He's referred to as the majestic one, majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon our Savior's brow. As Bruce said this morning in Bible class, he spoke and the worlds were. So his hands are preserving hands. His hands we've seen are fashioning hands, preserving hands. Thirdly, these hands are guiding hands. He leads the blind. It says he said his people knew not the way. But he leads us in a way not known to his people by birth, nature, and practice. But blessed be God, he knows and he leads us by the hand. How precious it is. And parents are gonna find this out if you haven't found it out. The kids, they're always when they're little, they're reaching for daddy's and mommy's hands. And then one day you reach and they're like, no, I got this. I can handle this. And I remember that day when doing that with Jackson. I remember when my daughter just released my hand. I was like, I can do this. Oh, it just killed me. But the believer is to be as a little child. Are we not? One of the old timers said, snuggle up to Christ and don't let go. Like Jacob, you know, I'm wrestling, but I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go until he bless me. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. This is God speaking to his children. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Back to we're in his hands. Every which way, we're in his hands. These are guiding hands. Seeing then that we are blind from birth, that means we're sinners, we're lost, helpless, hopeless, he by himself shall lead and direct us to Canaan land. He's promised. He has never lost one for whom he has suffered, bled, and died, and he cannot fail. This God, the God of the Bible, cannot fail. Fourthly, these hands are chastening hands. Now, we don't like that. Chastening hands. Oh, how often we wander from the fold and from our elder brother, which is Christ. This is an integral part of his teaching work. We teach our children, we swat them, we discipline them, we chasten them. We don't punish them. The scriptures never talks about punishing his people. Talks about chastening. It talks about its affliction. Doesn't seem to be comfortable for a time being, but he chastens those whom he loves, as the father disciplines his children. Only our Father in heaven never errs. He can never do any wrong. And though we may not fully understand his correcting rod, like one of the old writers wrote years ago, I like this. He said, he uses the rod and then he drops it and comes over and comforts his dear children. He's just like, you know, and I remember, it's like, man, this is kind of tough, but it's needful. If the child needs correcting, and we need correcting because we know ourselves. We don't know ourselves as good as we think we do, but we know enough about us. He's revealed ourselves unto us, and we realize, well, we cry what it says in the New Testament. Without him, we can do nothing. See, God's mathematics is perfect. 1 + 0 always equals 1. Christ plus nothing. None of your righteousness, none of your helps, none of your, I can afford this. No, Christ plus nothing equals Christ. That's God's addition. That's God's arithmetic. I like what Luther said. He said, Lord, strike on, for now I know I'm your child. And I've seen this, and I've been there, and I probably was like, well, I need to grow in grace, and I need to learn the scriptures more, and I need to be more loving, I need to be more charitable. Well, what you're praying for is you need affliction, because you're needing, because in order to grow in grace, he's going to withhold something, he's going to chastise or rebuke or afflict, but that's okay. Because these hands, we're in his hands. Not only these hands are guiding hands, but these are chastening hands. This is seen in Jeremiah 31. I always like to go to the scriptures, and there's so many more of these. I'm just usually using one to prove what the scriptures already say. Jeremiah 31 and verse 20. This is God speaking. Is Ephraim my dear son? Yes. Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. It's almost contradictory language. But Dad, you said you loved me, you would buy me a car when I'm 16. I heard that, and it didn't come true. So you're not doing what you said. Well, God does what he says. We're his dear children, sons and daughters. For since God spake against us when we're disobedient, all according to his will and plan, I can't figure it out, and I don't need to. I just know I'm in his hands. Bottom line, keep it simple. The gospel, we're far too intellectual, we're far too removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. This and Christ too. This book and Christ too. These hands are chastening hands. And time would not allow me or us to mention Christ's graven hands. What did Thomas say? I won't believe unless I see his hands. His hands are graven for us, pierced for his people. Time would not allow us to speak of his sovereign, majestic hands controlling all things for his people. All things are working together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose, sovereign hands, and His covering hands. He covers us from the storms of life. Like was mentioned in Bible class, this country, as long as I've been alive, this country is what people are calling wrong is right, and what's right is they're calling wrong. The political, moral compass in this nation is so upside down. Fear, the media, the pandemic, the this, the that, whatever. Whatever. His covering hands, all His saints, back to our text, all His saints are in His hands. He is fully responsible for every single saint that there is and shall be. And we need to remember this. He has not dealt with us after our iniquities deserve. We're worse than what we know. We deserve wrath, but instead have received mercy. We deserve damnation, but by grace and through His blood and righteousness and by faith, we will meet Him in glory. That's the bottom line. Ecclesiastes in closing, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. What a comforting verse. Verse 1. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 1. This is what... You know, Bruce taught this in Bible class. It's been a while ago, but who's the writer of this? This is Solomon. Now, what's the Bible say about Solomon? He's the wisest, smartest man ever lived. Now, period. The Bible says it, period. Well, they didn't understand astrophysics then. I don't care. Doesn't matter. This man, and more importantly, knew Christ. Listen to what he says. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 1. For all this, cattle, agronomy, biology, study of flora, study of fauna, study of human nature, humankind. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works, this is the saints, are in the hand of God. They're in the hand of God. And according to the New Testament, He can do with us as He will. He can do with us as He will. Now, if you're a believer, that is of the most tremendous comfort that you can think of. And this is kind of goofy, but I think when I think of the hands of the Lord, I don't know why. I guess maybe because I grew up with Allstate or whatever, whichever the one, State Farm, whether you're in good hands. And they showed the little hands. Well, our Father's got one hand underneath and one hand over. Nothing can get in. No disease, no sickness, no poverty, no death can get in unless He allows it. And when He allows it, He will allow us to see Him in it and glorify Him in it. May we find comfort in this word for our souls this morning. All His saints are in Thy hand. And may we be like the two messengers. If you're familiar with John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, there's two messengers, and they're talking with Pilgrim and Christian, and they lead them up to the Delectable Mountains. And they look off in the distance, and they can see the celestial sea. They can see Canaan land. They can see glory. They can see it. And it says, they encouraged one another in the way. Now, I know some of you are young, some of you are middle-aged, some of you are older. But if you're a believer, you need encouragement in the way. And that's why we gather together. And that's why we call one another, and that's why we pray for one another, and that's why we glorify our Father. He wants to hear from us. So I want to be like those two. It goes crazy. I could just hear some of the things. Oh, there'll be no sin there. There'll just be comfort. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more worry. And it kind of, it's like Bruce said, you know, you go on vacation and you think about what you just did and you gather back together and you're like, oh, encouraging in the way, encouraging in the way. Did you hear what so-and-so did on Capitol Hill? I don't care. I don't care. Oh, did you hear there's another variant? I don't care. I'm in his hands. And one old writer said, if he kills us or if he takes us out, he ushers us to glory. Because we're in his hands. But that's the only place the believer wants to be. Truly and really. So let us thank him evermore for his sovereign, free, unchangeable grace. And him, obviously. We can talk about a sovereign God, but we need to talk about the God who is sovereign. Bruce, would you close us?